Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we have plenty to do today. We have Ian Happ scheduled to join us to hang out for a little bit at around 9:40. Shortly thereafter, Kevin Fishbane, the Bears reporter for The Athletic, will give us a reset on what the Bears are doing. They finally came out from their little bye week hiding spot and had some things to say yesterday. So we'll see how they're getting ready for the primordial rivals. The Midday Midway at 10:40. Sage Rosenfels will talk quarterbacking at 11. Paul Charchian will help you out with your fantasy team with all of the Thursday action carrying us through the day. Games you'll hear on The Score, by the way. And there are surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. That is the Score listener line that is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, you email Bernstein at 670thescore.com. That is where you go to listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. If you want to send a text, you text the text zone. That's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. You can also follow my personal feed as well if you want to, if you like more than sports. And if you don't follow. That is at Dan_Bernstein. Download the Radio.com app. That way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station. Also on Facebook, where you can like the 670 The Score page. And then there's the new hotness that we have, and that is the Twitch stream. You can find it at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And you can see us. You can see guests. You can converse in the chat that goes on alongside. Brian Gertsch directs the video feed and moderates the chat. And very often when there's something we're talking about, if there's a link to a story or something during Midday Midway, we will include that. We'll throw that link up on Twitter and right there into the chat so everybody can see it and have it right in front of them. So again, it's a fun way to enjoy the show. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. And his wife, Hope Zawoski, as I mentioned, is the Joan of Arc of Brian Anon, or anti-Brian Anon. I mean, apparently what happened was I was talking about possibly brining these turkey legs, and she kept texting Jay, Like, what is he doing? What's wrong with him? You have to put a stop to this. My God, the Republic is at stake. And he just sent him an email. And I don't know how quickly she wrote this or if she already has like a template for this to immediately send off as like a form letter to a cease and desist to keep somebody from brining. But it was like without a grammatical error in it at all. Without a typo. It was almost too perfect. And I was like, okay. Like I stood down immediately. Because, you know, she's like, there are links to this and a link to this. Here's the science. Here's the chemical reaction. And it was impressive, I have to say.
Now you know how fun it is to be me, Dan. With every argument we've ever had.
With, like, everything, like, sourced and documented. And, like, that's got to be rough, man. Or else you just say, yes, dear, right?
She is a woman of many passions, and brining, not brining, is one of them.
Stopping people from brining. That is intense. But okay, so I'm good. I gotcha. I'm not going to replace the precious bodily fluids with other juices. So it's all good. And is she including dry brining? Or she says if you have to brine, dry brining, she says, will not do as much damage to the natural juices. So okay. So there was some opening, some wiggle room on the idea of dry brining. And I just think, no, I'm going to dry rub them or something, and I'm going to put them in the oven, and I'm going to baste them with butter, and everything's going to be fine, and there's going to be enough gravy and enough Cameron Hughes wine flowing that nobody's going to care. So that's all good. On the board, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz, doing the things that he does. You know, we listened yesterday to Jed Hoyer, and we'll be listening today at 1 o'clock. Jed Hoyer is going to be on with Lawrence Holmes, and I think I will venture to say that Lawrence will be able to pull some things out of Jed that maybe we didn't get in the more formalized press conference status when it is a little bit more conversational. Maybe we'll learn a little more, but I don't think they're hiding the ball, because I think they have no idea what's going on, and nobody does. And this is going to be a very, very strange and uncomfortable baseball offseason that he's walking into here because of all the things that nobody seems to know. And I thought Joe Sheehan did a good job of trying to examine some of this stuff about what we're talking about with service time and some of these complicated decisions that are going on and, you know, tendering some of these players. I'll read you what Joe Sheehan said. He said, baseball players who've achieved 6 years of service time and do not have a contract for 2021 became free agents after the World Series. Players on the 40-man but not eligible for arbitration have to be tendered a contract, but they have no leverage in negotiating their 2021 salary, and the team can pay them the minimum if it cares to do so. He brings up the example of Juan Soto, one of the best young hitters in baseball history through a year plus, and he made $629,000, just above league minimum. He said great young players are underpaid by tens of millions of dollars a year. And he says, in between the pre-arb players and the free agents, there's players who have service time to be eligible for arbitration but not free agency. I think that would be our guy Ian Happ as an example. We're talking about non-tender decisions, and these players must be tendered an offer of at least 80%. And if a team thinks it can get, say, 2 wins from a pre-arb player or a waiver claim or in any other way, they're not going to offer a contract to the 4-year player. And he brings up some examples of this. So there's going to be so many people available, and I think there's a lot of teams waiting to see what the talent market is going to look like when you see some really good players who might end up being non-tendered. If you're going to decide what free agents to sign or who to tender, how do you handle the pre-pandemic to the post-pandemic economy? The entire economy is going to be different. Now, there's two paragraphs about Chris Bryant here that I think are critical. He said, Chris Bryant is an obvious example of where these two economies are crossing right now. And this is something, what Jed Hoyer needs to understand. Bryant is famously a day shy of free agency. In an ARB hearing, he can compare himself to players who've gotten their paydays, Anthony Rendon, Nolan Arenado. He can present himself as a player of special accomplishment, Rookie of the Year, MVP, 3 All-Star teams in 5 years. Last year, he was supposed to make $18.6 million. settling with the Cubs before going to arbitration. The Cubs have to make Bryant a tender of at least 70% of his 2019 salary, or $9 million, but it's not a real number. Making a tender to Bryant commits them to paying him at least his 2020 listed pay because of increased service time carrying weight in arbitration as much as his poor performance in 2020. But the $18.6 million was a pre-pandemic number based on a league that brought in $10.5 billion and a Cubs franchise that could fill Wrigley Field 81 times a year. The Cubs can't use league or team finances in an arb hearing. They're tied to Bryant's pre-2020 number in a post-2020 world. Think about this. Set aside his performance last year. He said, I truly believe you would have to give players who had bad seasons a pass, consider the money. His 2020 salary is from another world, but it exerts enormous influence on his 2021 salary. This will draw the most attention because it's the Cubs. And he says it's a problem for teams all across baseball. So it talks about Corey Seager and about the difference between pre-pandemic numbers. He said examples of homegrown Cubs and Dodgers who won championships and won or nearly won MVP awards can be a sort of an extreme example of making the case. But what I think is different about the Cubs is because of their over-reliance as a business on that revenue, on Wrigley revenue and area around Wrigley Field revenue. So this is unbelievably complicated stuff to be managed right here about what's fair. And then if, in fact, a team is trading for him, how do they value it? You know, where are their dollars coming from? And you may, even as you're negotiating a trade, have vast differences of estimation of what someone is worth, let alone everything else, trying to figure out for whom you're trading when you haven't had minor league seasons. You haven't able to, you weren't able to scout these guys last year. You don't know if somebody has improved or is developing, or a pitcher has found a new pitch, or he's gotten rid of his sinker and now he's only a four seamer and he's tunneled things up better. These guys are radically reinventing themselves, especially near the end of their minor league development. MLB readiness, and you don't know because you couldn't see him. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, Jed, good luck to you, sir. Good luck to you. I don't know, man. There is a there was just a fun moment. I thought we should give this a listen, because the kind of whole I love you, man moment was when Jed was extolling the virtues in as he sang a paean to his predecessor, Theo Epstein. But what I want you to picture, instead of him at a Zoom press conference, just picture, and now let's hear at the wedding, let's hear from the best man as he gives the best man toast.
I want to start out by saying a few words about Theo. I tried to think of the best way to summarize our relationship. And, you know, frankly, I really struggled to, you know, wrap 17 years in two cities into a few succinct lines. I realized that those flashbulb moments, the LCSs and the World Series and the parades, you know, those are just a few days of the thousands of days that we work together. So I started thinking about how we interact on a day-to-day basis. And the simplest way I think you can describe our relationship is that we actually designed our office space to have more time together. We were really fortunate with Sloan Park and with the office building here at Wrigley that we were able to design our offices. And what we did is we had sliding walls on both sides and then a small sitting room in between us so that we could basically yell back and forth and talk throughout the day without ever leaving our chairs. I will miss the ease and the trust and the shared history of that dialogue. I'll miss the arguments about players. I'll miss reliving painful losses from 03 or draft mistakes from 2006. We never, ever seem to talk about any of the good moments. I'll miss the daily wagers that never get paid off. I'll miss hearing about your latest 47-yard field goal attempt. I'll miss the random mid-80s references to the Patriots or early 90s to the Celtics. I don't know what my life is going to be like without anyone comparing players to Mosey Tatupu or A.C. Earl. I'll miss calling you Al Davis once a week when you walk in the office in a sweatsuit. I'll miss all the laughs, almost all at my expense, as you guys know, oh too well. I'll miss shutting those sliding walls whenever Theo plays one of his two songs on the guitar. I could go on and on, but the truth is that I will miss all of it. It's been a wonderful run, and 3 rings, 2 curses broken, and 1 lifelong friendship. My friend, I can never, ever thank you enough. It's been amazing.
That's so love, bro.
You're getting a really good dude, and I'm going to miss you, man.
How about the video that Sahada Sharma got, the actual like security cam video from Jed's house of Theo leading a bunch of people TPing his front yard because Jed dared to bail on a night out. He's like, I'm tired. I'm going home. Like, no, you're not. You're not going home. We're going to show you. And then they decided to go buy a bunch of toilet paper and throw it all over the trees in his front yard. And it's on video. Come on. Well, okay. So he can say all those things, but now Jed Hoyer's got a lot of work to do. One of his players of some substantial value happens to be Ian Happ. And Ian Happ is going to join us next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Welcome back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs.
Happ hits a high drive deep to left. Dickerson at the wall. It's gone! A go-ahead home run for Ian Happ on a 1-2 pitch.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Now he's got all the tools.
That man at third and only one out.
That is going to be caught by Happ on the dive.
A run-saving play by Ian Happ. Spectacular catch out there in right center field. Ian goes headlong on the sinking line drive and hauls it in.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
We have a very special episode with former Chicago Cub Ryan Dempster, current off the mound host on the Marquee Network. Demp, were you a snapper?
I was.
Wow. Do you have like a best snap story you could tell us?
We were in Pittsburgh and I was really having a tough time. It was a tough year. I was battling through injury too and not pitching very well. And I went down into the hitting cage area there in the dugout and there's a sink that's on the wall there. I was so mad and I closed the door and I just took a bat. I just started whacking away on this thing. Boom, boom. And it kind of like comes off like halfway. I just take one more whack and I whack through it and I knock the pipe off and the water shoots me directly in my face.
Ian Happ on the Dan Bernstein Show on 670 The Score. Welcome
back. Ian Happ is on Twitter at ihap_1. He is on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And importantly, he is on the Twitch stream right now, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can actually see him practicing what he preaches. He will occasionally take a sip of quarantine coffee, although it is covered, and it's an opaque cup, so it may have parse rum in there. So I can't speak to how early the Thanksgiving may be starting. But let's play Where in the World is Ian Happ, because you've been in so many different places.
I am in Austin, Texas still. Going to be here through the holidays. It's actually my first Thanksgiving in Austin. Not going back to see the family, not traveling to slow the spread. So we're in Austin. My brother and I are here actually, and his fiance. So we're just doing a little Thanksgiving in Austin.
So it's just going to be the three of you then? Are you going to Zoom or do anything virtually with family?
Yeah, we'll be checking in with family probably Wednesday and Thursday, with both sides and, just checking in everybody. But I know everybody's kind of doing their own thing this year. Usually we do a big Thanksgiving at my grandma's house, but not going to happen this year, unfortunately.
So what's your idealized menu and timing? Are you one of these families that sort of like starts at noon or like eats a huge meal and then sort of settles in and then goes back for more? Or does everything build to a classic dinner? How does it work?
I'm going to start with a huge bomb here. We don't eat turkey.
At all?
No.
What?
We nixed the turkey probably 4 or 5 years ago now. So what we started doing when my brother, I was in high school, my brother was in college, we were trying to put on weight. So we said, we need a bonus meat. Can't just do turkey. We need a bonus meat. So we started with a brisket. So we did a turkey and a brisket. It's like, this is nice. This is a nice thing we're doing. Then we're like, you know what? The turkey, it's not a great meat. If we're going to be honest, it's just not a great meat. There's the white meat's a little dry. Dark meat's okay, but there's not enough of it. So we went to duck. A few years ago, we went to duck, which is a wonderful meat. My mother makes the best duck. So we went to duck, and then we actually, last year or 2 years ago, tried quail. We tried to do duck and quail. Ordered a couple too many quails from Texas, so we had a lot of quail. But it was that's our Texas little tribute for the quail and the duck. No turkey.
I will always be supportive of game birds and because I'm a turkey dark meat guy, because I don't see the point of the fibrous block of chalk, because I want it to taste like a bird. I love quail. The problem is the tediousness of eating it. The act of consuming quail, it's like you burn more calories finding the meat than you gain by actually consuming it.
Which is maybe a good thing on Thanksgiving, because there's, you know, a lot of stuffing, a lot of pumpkin pie, there's a lot of other things. So if you're burning calories when you're taking down a couple of those little quail, they are very difficult, though. They're so small, and there's only so much meat you can get off of them.
That's bold thinking there, Cotton. You're going to go without the turkey. That is having confidence in oneself as a pure American right there. So what did you think about Jed Hoyer taking over, is saying the things that he does? We were kind of ribbing him for sounding like he was giving a Theo Epstein best man speech at his wedding. But this is Jed's baby right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jed's been here the whole time, right? Jed helped build this organization to what it is now. He's been a huge part of that. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about Jed, and the fact that it's going to be a really smooth transition, the fact that you know, Jed's seen every inch of the organization. He's been a part of every single thing in the turnaround. I think that's huge. And I think the fact that he was in the draft room when all of us were drafted, the fact that he brought in all of these guys that helped turn this organization into what it is, and that he has relationships with the guys that and the personalities and the attitudes that help change the franchise, I think he knows exactly what it means to be a Chicago Cub, and I think he's going to do such a good job of moving that forward and you know, bringing that to the next generation of Cubs fans.
Has he reached out to you yet since assuming that bigger responsibility?
We exchanged a brief text message, but besides that, you know, he's got a lot going on. I just being around the organization when something like this happens, whether it's a free agent signing, a new player traded in the middle of the season, the amount of media that has to happen, not only with the reporters and writers and talk shows and doing all that, but with like Cubs social and videos. And because they try to get, when this happens, they try to block, let's say, 5 hours of the day and just shoot all of this media to release over the next 4 months. Right. And so and not to mention the fact that he is in charge of the entire operation of the Chicago Cubs. So there's a lot going on right now that people don't get to see. People only get to see that, whatever he did, 1 or 2 hour media conference. But there's a lot more that goes into it.
I don't envy some of these decisions that he has to make in this particular environment. And the more I read about the macroeconomics of the current situation, the more my head starts to spin because of arbitration arguments that are made with a completely different set of numbers. You know, what do last year's statistics mean, for better or for worse, all things considered? And how do we have the previous economy based on fans in the stands and people around the ballpark? And so in your role as player rep, I'm wondering what some of the back channel discussions are, that there needs to be some advocacy here, maybe active advocacy, before teams start saying, you know what, you're non-tendered, I've got a minimum that I got to pay you because you're 28 years old with X amount of service time. I can get these 3 wins from somebody else. This really could be an opportunity for teams to start pushing back against players in a way that would be deleterious to your financial best interests.
Yeah, I think that's the difficult part, is that we're in a system right now where there's not a lot of recourse for something like that. There's not a lot of recourse for the team designating somebody or releasing somebody, because They know if they flood the market, they know what happens. They've seen it. They've done it. You know, you had teams like the Marlins trade away three outfielders that were all all-stars, or, you know, two of them were MVPs. And, you know, that floods the free agent market and brings the prices of free agents down. So things like that, you know, teams have discovered over the last 5 years since the last CBA how effective they can be. And so they're not afraid to push a bunch of people into the market, because they when you're looking at someone as a number and not as a human being, it's a lot easier, I think, to make that there's no difference between this guy has a one war and that guy has a one war, and they play the same position. You know, and it should just be a math equation, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of that, but it will be very interesting to see how the arbitration process goes. And there's going to be some discussion, and I'm sure quite a bit of disagreement on whether to use the 60-game stats and try to push them out over 162 games. Is the argument that when you're comping yourself to somebody else, that you say, these are my stats compared to this guy, which is pretty similar, and I probably deserve to be paid what he paid or maybe a little bit more. And then here's my kicker argument, is that if I would have gotten to play 162 games, I would have been way better. Like, is that the way the guys are going to do it? Or are teams going to come in and say, this 60-game season doesn't matter because, look, at this point in this guy's career, he had a good 60-game stretch and then he stuck. So does that hold up in court? I don't think so. I don't think an arbitrator looks at that and says, that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, it's uncharted territory. It hasn't happened before. We don't have a precedent. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the discussions go and how many of these arbitrations do go to a hearing, because how big the spread is once numbers start coming out.
So, and this applies to you, right? Because this would be an arb year for you.
Yeah. I mean, this is you know, it's the discussions are starting now, and you know, it's not until first, second week of January that things really kick off with arbitration, which I don't think makes sense for the timing and the process of the off season. I think that's one of the things that, you know, just looking at it broadly, teams don't want to make a bunch of free agent decisions until they have cost certainty with arbitration. So, but we're waiting until January to get cost certainty, and then you wonder why teams aren't pulling the trigger on free agents until middle, end of January, February. Well, it's because they don't have cost certainty with a team like the Cubs that has, you know, 6-7 guys in the arbitration process, and 4 or 5 of those guys with big numbers and, you know, what could be a few million this way or a few million that way. I mean, that really changes the ledger when you go down to the total salaries they're willing to give out. So there's a reason why free agency has been pushed back so much in the last few years, and there's a reason why teams are going to more hearings than they ever did before this CBA cycle. So it's something that I hope when we go into the next negotiation, we reconsider the timing, because it makes our offseason pretty boring for 3-4 months.
You don't sit in on your own arb hearings, right? A wise person once told me because a lot of players say, look, I don't want to hear my employer tell me how much I suck while I'm trying to argue how great I am.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't talked to that many guys that have been through the process, and especially because the Cubs have only gone one time. Yeah, the Cubs took Justin Grimm to arbitrate to a hearing, but besides that, the Cubs have never gone to a hearing. So I guess a lot of my teammates haven't had to go through it or haven't done it. I know it was really tough on Dylan Betances when he went with the Yankees years back. I know I've just heard other guys mention being in the room and how brutal it is, because it really is business. And you go in there and the team rips you up pretty good and makes their case and then shakes your hand and says, all right, let's go try to win baseball games. It's like,
yeah, thanks. That's great.
That shouldn't be how it works. Yeah. The process is brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
So how much when you go to the off season and you're going to have like a massive Thanksgiving dinner, how careful or how concerned are you about letting yourself get out of shape? And I know for years we love talking to Jake Arrieta about his absolutely insane cheat days and the amount of calories that he would consume and how proud he was of the ridiculous amount of cheat that he would allow. What is your sort of self-care protocol for, I mean, staying in shape, for how often you weigh yourself, or just making sure that you're ready for spring training?
Yeah. My look at it is pretty total to the off season. My big thing is that I want to be ready for February, let's say it's 14th or 20th or whenever we're trying to play that first game. So I want to be ready for that date. And that's weightlifting, that's posture, that's weight, that's speed, hitting, like that's everything. So I'm not so worried about where my body is January 1. I'm not so worried about where it is the day after Thanksgiving. I am careful. I'm careful all the way around. I invest a lot of time and energy into the food, what I put in my body. I'm trying to make sure that that's right, because that's the biggest, nutrition is the biggest thing that's going to make the workouts worth it or not worth it. So if I'm spending all this time in the weight room, in the gym, focused on my body and trying to be, at the pinnacle of my own performance, I'm not going to put unleaded fuel in the body to do that. So I try to make sure that I'm really as high octane as I can be with that. But like I said, I just try to make it really focused on what it's going to look like when we start spring training, when we're going to that first game. So I have, phased out my workouts. I have the progression of my workouts matches up with the food, the calorie consumption, and then the hitting comes in at some point, throwing comes in at some point, and I try to put it all together that way.
What is the latest on your multifaceted charitable empire that we need to know about?
Quarantine Coffee is going really well. We are excited. We're trying to get K-Cups to you guys before the holiday, and then we're going to try to put together a little gift box where you can kind of give maybe a sampler packet or a couple bags of Quarantine Coffee in a gift box to your loved ones. I know we're not going to be able to see as many people as we'd like, so we want to be able to ship those across the country and make sure that we can get Quarantine Coffee out to everybody. So we're excited for that. We're hoping to be able to have those available early December so you can start ordering them and get them there before Christmas.
Ian, always great catching up. Have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving and continue good health.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
That is Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. We will turn our attention to the Bears as they prepare to take on the Green Bay Packers. Kevin Fishbane is straight ahead. Keep it here. You have the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.